said.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, there it is.
We have a variety of different sizes of bottles that are available.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio and 1000wines.com, featuring Ron, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and let them know, you know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
We welcome your calls during this one-hour program. Go on air with us by dialing area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. Ask questions about any topic related to wine or voice your comments about the program. Chat with us on 1000mics.com. Just click on All About Wine in the show listing and send your comment in the comment box. Always entertaining and informative, it's All About Wine. And now, please welcome Ron.
Thank you. In case you didn't hear that, please welcome Ron.
Yeah, thank you. The volume was low on that.
Yeah, I've heard that, and it sounded like it's coming from the speaker behind me. I don't know what that was. That's built into a Blog Talk, so I'll have to check the volume on that one, I guess, and maybe redo something there.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to the show. It is 7 o'clock p.m. here on the east coast of the U.S., Eastern Time, I guess what we call it. It's a beautiful October 21st. The weather down here has been absolutely wonderful as we get into
beautiful.
Fall. I mean, we're into fall, but the weather is just, you couldn't ask for better weather. The humidity is going down. I think it's going back up later on this week.
It's supposed to go back up. Yeah.
But it's not going to be a big deal. And so we have that coming up, and it's just going to be a great week to get out. Speaking of great weeks to get out, this Saturday, I have to roll that in there.
That was good.
Yeah, thank you. October 23rd, you want to come down I-75 or go north on I-75 and take exit 285, that's State Road 52, because Florida State's Winery is having Wine Festival. That's a wine festival, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time at Florida State's Winery. And let's see, this event will include sauces, homemade arts and crafts, handmade jewelry, Avon, and much more, plus live music featuring light and classical rock live right there at Florida State's Winery. Beautiful outside underneath the oak trees, and it's also a great opportunity to sample the winery's offerings and meet the incredible winemaker who I believe we're on the phone with.
Yes.
It's educational and fun. It's wine tasting at the Wine Festival, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Florida State's Winery, 4 miles west of I-75 or 8 miles east of Highway 41 at 25241 State Road 52 near Land O'Lakes. Yeah. Oh. Wow, you know what that means. I believe we have a call.
We have a call. We can bring him on in.
Okay, let's bring him on. What area code is this? 813 area code.
Yeah, that's his area code.
Ah, okay, here we go. That sounds like a local call.
Yeah.
Are you there with us?
Yes, Ron, how are you?
Hello. I think we have some.
Ron, this is Mike Brown. How are you?
Hello, Mike Brown. This is Ron. We also have Mike on us here. We have two mics that I'm going to be addressing here, which may be a problem. But welcome. Let me tell the people who are listening here. We have with us tonight, we are talking about Georgia. And since we're talking about Georgia wines, we have Mike Brown, who is a past president. Is that correct, Mike?
But actually, the executive director.
Oh, great. Okay, we have the executive director of the Wine Growers Association of Georgia, and he has gracefully agreed to come on tonight and talk to us about Georgia wine, since Georgia is our state and our subject tonight. So we are going to I'm just going to let Mike talk to us and tell us about Georgia grapes and Georgia soil and Georgia climate. And you could just fill us in on Georgia if you don't mind.
Be happy to. Contrary to most beliefs, you know, everyone thinks that Georgia is red clay all the way through, when it's not. The northern part of Georgia, which is the Appalachian and the Blue Ridge Mountains, has a several microclimates, and within those microclimates, there are several different terroirs that benefit the vinifera grape. But the interesting thing before I get into that is not many people know that Georgia pre-prohibition was the number 6 wine producer in the country. James Oglethorpe brought over 200 families of Hungarians to settle 2,000 acres to grow vineyards, which later turned into 20,000 acres, which was then taken back to less than 400 acres after Prohibition. So Georgia's got a good background of grapes and vineyard growing and things like that. But if you look at it today, we're not one of the larger areas like many other states in the Union. So we're trying to get there, but we're a young organization, and we're getting there very quickly. But there's, like I say, there's a lot of great things happening here in Georgia with the wine industry and our vineyards. Like I was saying earlier, the land is perfect for growing grapes. I mean, it ranges, and our organization is primarily vinifera growers. Now, some of them do grow the Scuppernong in Catawbas, and they do produce that wine. But the group itself, primarily vinifera-based, because of the region we're in, our altitude up here runs anywhere from 1,200 to 2,600 feet. And
wow.
That gives us a great temperature variations for in excess of 30 varieties of vinifera grapes to grow up here.
The soil throughout Georgia, I know you're basically in the northern part there, but the soil throughout Georgia, is it pretty much the same, or do you have a big variation of it? I noticed some wineries are speckled throughout the southern part of the state, although most of them are at the northern part. But
well,
how's the soil influence?
Well, the soil is a big influence. The southern part of the state is predominantly sand and clay mixture. In the northern part of the state, because of the mountain range and the centuries of erosion and weather and climatic changes, the soil in the northern part is less of a sand and much less of a clay, which lends itself well to the vinifera grape, and that's why that's all grown up here, notwithstanding the fact of the cool weather, which helps us with Pierce's disease. Preventing that.
Yeah. Weather influence. A lot of those wineries up north are in the hills, I notice. Is the microclimates a big influence up there?
That is a huge influence here. Like I said earlier, the elevations run, and most of these, or all of these wineries, are located about an hour and a half north of Atlanta. Now, most people have been to Atlanta, and, it's predominantly flat with a few hills. But as you just 2 hours north of Atlanta, you start running into the mountain ranges, which, as you said, these wineries are located on the various hillsides. So not only do they have the elevation going for them, within the mountain ranges, there are microclimates that will lend itself to the different grapes. Some of the vineyards are in the lower ranges, but might be in a pocket where the cooler air will settle. And some grapes, such as Cabernet Sauvignon, may not do as well because there's too much dew and there's too much moisture in there. And then as you go further north, obviously, the elevations continue to rise all the way up. Now, my wife and I planted a vineyard. We're probably the most northern vineyard in Florida. It's a very small one, but nonetheless, we're at 2,400 feet, and we're in a wide gap where we have a lot of airflow that keeps our vineyard, keeps the air movement through there and discourages the amount of powdery and downy mildew that others may experience.
So as the further north you get up there, then you're not getting as much humidity like you would find in the south. So therefore, you're running into less of a problem, I would assume, less of a problem with a lot of the problems you're derived from the fact that there's going to be humidity and causing the molds and everything. Is that true?
Well, it's funny because certain areas have less of that than other areas. Now, for instance, even though I have a wide open vineyard, the mountains, you know, the closest mountain is probably 2 miles away from me. I still have a problem in late August with a lot of dew in the morning, heavy enough where it won't burn off until 11 o'clock. So and that's just
wow.
been a pattern here. So even though I'm at 2,400 feet, I still have that issue. Because, you know, if you think about it right now, we're having nights at 35 degrees, and it'll swing up to 72 as a high during the day. So we have a huge
wow.
swing night to morning, you know, night to the, you know, low to high.
Well, that brings up another thing, too. You mentioned the fact that the muscadine grape is actually Georgia's the biggest state for muscadine in the United States. Georgia also produces a lot of Vitis vinifera grapes. I found out when I was reading through this, a tremendous amount. Just about everything you can imagine that you can plant around this country seems to be able to be grown in Georgia.
It has it's proven itself for that way. I mean, the University of Georgia has been a huge help to us in helping us bring the different grapes into the area, helping us with the various disease and fungicide control that is required for it. You know, in the last couple of years, Traminette, which has predominantly been a much colder climate grape, has done very well here. In fact, I planted a few hundred plants this past spring, and very, very pleased the way they've taken off through the spring. Now, you know, we'll do a little precaution during the winter because our winters here, last year we had probably 9 feet of snow over the course of the winter, which is not huge compared to other areas, but, you know, nobody thinks of that much snow in northeast Georgia. And then on top of that, you know, prior to that, we had probably 80 inches of rain from January to December.
Wow.
So it's pretty interesting as to what can grow here. And as I said earlier, there's easily over 35 different varieties of Vitis vinifera growing here, notwithstanding the French American Norton, which does very, very well.
Yeah, I noticed that I was looking up some of the wineries in Georgia, and, you know, different ones, and, you know, Cabernet Sauvignon, Chardonnays, Cabernet Franc, some of these grapes that you don't picture as being really this far south are seem to be doing quite well, and a lot of wineries do make wines from those. But then again, you have all the muscadine family and all the scuppernongs and you know, the Vitis rotundifolia that's really has boomed in Georgia. It just seems like a strange combination to me. The microclimates is one of the main reasons for that.
Well, I think that's a great point because we have the best of both climates. We have the warmth and the terroir down in the south that really produces a massive amount of the scuppernong, catawba, in that variety of grape. And then in the north, you have the vinifera. And one of the things that we're trying to do here in Georgia, because we are such a young organization, is to create a state organization of both vinifera and the scuppernong and the sweet grape-type growers, because that's where the power really comes from. When we look at ourselves compared to our neighboring states, North Carolina in particular, they've done a fantastic job of growing their industry over the last 10 years. And I've been in constant contact with them of, you know, how did you do it? What did you do? Because they as well have both grapes, but not on the same parallel that Georgia does as far as on a percentage basis. They're predominantly vinifera. They do have some of the sweet grapes of scuppernongs and so forth. But they pulled these organizations or these growers together, and that enabled them to have a massive influence within the capital to help them push their industry along to where it is today. And that's one of the things that we're trying to do here in Georgia right now.
The Georgia, the modern Georgia wine industry, how long has this been going on? I know before Prohibition, you mentioned that, but it was, ranked sixth? But after Prohibition, how recent have we gotten back into Georgia grape growing and Georgia wineries?
It really started late 70s, early 80s. A gentleman by the name of Tom Slick was the new pioneer to get it going again. He has invested a lot in the land and started bringing the vinifera grape back into the area. And his winery, Habersham Winery, is probably the oldest winery in the state as it stands right now. And they're, you know, I would say they started about 82, 83, somewhere in there. And right now they're probably the largest vinifera producer and bottler of wines in the state. But the real impact has occurred in the last...
I tried to find... Go.
What I was going to say was the real impact and the real growth has started in the last 12 years. And then... If you push that forward on a timeline, in the last 5 years, there are 20 new vineyards planted in this region. And most of them will become wineries of various sizes. Now, again, not all will become national shipping type wineries, but it the region is growing, and there's a lot of people moving in, purchasing land throughout the region, because they've seen and heard what can be grown here.
Again, for the region there, just grapes, is that the main crop, or what are they growing in that area there then?
No,
Northern Georgia.
Irony is if I look out my window across the valley, there's probably a 3,000-acre farm that grows multiple vegetable row crops, and you know predominantly it's a spring summer crop. But he plants anything from cabbage to tomatoes, squash, and corn on a rotational basis, and ships all over the state. So it's a very fertile area.
Is there any certified organic growers in Georgia?
There are certified organic growers in Georgia of different types. Now, predominantly, they are located over in the north central part. If you go across the state, top of the northern state border towards Blairsville, there are several organic farms over there. Now, as well, I know that there are a few organic farms in the south part of the state for row crops as well.
Oh, wow. What is the shipping regulations? I always like to ask the states, how easy is it to ship in and out of the state, wines to other states, or to receive wines from other states? What's the regulations for Georgia?
Yeah, Georgia. We were just able to pass our regulation in 06 that allowed us to ship cross state lines, which was a tremendous help to our farm wineries, and you know that really boosted our sales. You know, as people came in and visited, tasted, knew what they liked, and they could order online. Individuals can also ship into Georgia from other states with reciprocity. That's the key, and I think that's the key with most all states.
Right. government of Georgia, the state government and local, is there problems with that? I've noticed that some states are very winery friendly. Other states are almost battle wineries and counties. There are dry counties and stuff. States, there's wet counties and all that. Does Georgia face those situations also?
Yes, we do. You know, as I was saying earlier, I look at our neighbor, North Carolina, as being something I want to grow up and be at one day, in as far as what they've done with their industry. But they had a very, as did Virginia, they had a very wine-friendly government that really helped them along in their process. I won't say that our government, our current government, is anti-wine. They just have other priorities, and the wine industry isn't one of them. Mm. Now, there are impact studies that I've read and I've relayed to our USDA and so forth as far as what the economic impact the winery industry has to the state's economy. And while they all agree and they see the benefits of what could happen, there are just other priorities for our current governor, which is up for re-election right now, which I think is not voting in his favor. So we kind of look for that kind of we look for that opportunity that's coming down the road for us.
Yeah, it's just amazing how much the state seems to battle it, and wine is growing so quickly in this country that it would seem like every state, South Carolina, Kentucky is another one. These states know how to do it, know how to cash in on it. And it would seem like other states would do what they could to try to get a piece of that pie too. But, you know, they battle them all the time. Florida, I hate to say, is one of those states that we have issues with. So I understand that. There's no ABA in Georgia, no American Viticulture Area designated in Georgia?
At this point, there is not, and part of the reason is because of the microclimate. In defining an AVA, once you define it, you kind of restrict yourself pretty tightly to it, and we have a number of wineries that may only be 15 miles apart, but their climate ranges are so different. In fact, in 2007, we had a late freeze in, I want to say, May, and then in July, mid to late July, we had a severe hailstorm. And that just pretty much decimated the crop for a lot of people, but there were pockets that didn't get touched. So, for that reason, the group has decided to put off pursuing an AVA at this point. However, there is discussion that once we get a little bit bigger and we have a few more wineries in the region, that's probably the right thing to do.
So you'd be looking at, what, a North Georgia AVA then? Just trying to restrict it to the geographic area up there?
Well, now, actually, the discussion is to have two AVAs, one of a... one in the southwest part of our region, and then the other being in the northern northeastern part of the region, because that seems to be the climatic divide, if you will, and that really prohibits somebody from getting adversely affected by the certain AVA that they might fall into if it were all in one region or considered one AVA.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's interesting. I'll tell you what, Mike, thank you very much for the phone call tonight. I greatly appreciate a lot of fantastic information on Georgia and Georgia wines and Georgia grape growing. It's just it's fascinating. I'm doing some research on Georgia wines, and I was amazed at the variety of wines that really do come out of Georgia. I think maybe in the back of my mind I was just expecting the muscadines and that type of grape, and not expecting all the other vinifera grapes that were available. So it has been quite educational as far as that goes. So I thank you very much. Any other comments would you like to make?
Well, we appreciate the opportunity to let your listeners know what we're doing up here and the opportunity to educate as you're educating all of us on what's going on around the country. So we thank you for that.
Do you does your organization have a website or some contact information they can go to?
Yes, absolutely. It's called DiscoverGeorgiaWine, all spelled out, .com.
Georgia Wine.
And
that's
a list of all our wineries and all the events. And, correct.
All right, let me write that one down. So if anybody out there listening would like to check it out, go to the website for more information on Georgia. Well, that actually went to GeorgiaWine.com. So the Wine Growers Association of Georgia, and, yeah, we're pulling that up right now. Things like to look up stuff.
Georgia Wines.
Yep. Excellent. Yeah, looks like it's pulling up. So we're
so, again, Maya, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate your phone call. And, you know, listen, we're talking about other states. And, you know, you can always go on the archives or something if you don't have the time. Because, you know, it's, and if you have any questions or anything any time about other states, by all means, call in. I'll find out for you.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you for calling. Thank you for the information and everything. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
All right.
I think he's muted. He's still in there. Oh, there it goes. Four. Okay.
Oh.
Nope, he's off. Okay. Wow. That's,
he's
off. Yeah.
Great.
Very interesting.
That was interesting. And talking to someone like that from an area really is great because they get to, you know, like you said, he looks out his window and he sees a valley where they're finding all this other stuff and stuff. And, you know, it's so much nicer to be able to have someone like that and tell us firsthand about what's going on. So, again, Mike, if you're still listening, really appreciate it. It was fantastic, and it was an interesting phone call. Georgia, though, we still got another half hour here to talk about Georgia wineries and Georgia wines. I did contact some wineries today, and I looked up a couple of others there. I do want to go through the grapes. We were talking about the grapes, and I was amazed, and I mentioned that to Mike Brown when he was on, and I really was quite amazed at the variety of grapes that are grown in Georgia. Let me just list the ones that I have found that they produce. Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, Carlos, and Carlos is part of the Vitis rotundifolia family, Catawba, Cuyahoga, Chambord, Chardonnay, Chardonnay, Concord, Dichonnac, Gewurztraminer, Terminer, Malbec, Marsan, Merlot, Malverde, Muscadine, Niagara, Noble, Norton, Petit Mansing, Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir, Riesling, Rosin, Sangiovese, Scarlet, Scuppernong, Sauvignon Blanc, Syrah, Canet, Perigo National, Vidal Blanc, and Voynier, which is half of them are Muscadine family, half of them are the Vinifera family, and it just it's fascinating. It's fascinating the number of grapes that are produced in the state of Oregon. Mike Brown just mentioned because it brought in. And when the grape growing was revitalized and the modern wine industry in Georgia took place, like he said, in the early 1980s, Habersham Winery is the one that really started up first. One is the one that brought the wine growing business back to Georgia, brought the grapes and started it back up again. They've been producing wine since 1983. They actually run the oldest wineries in Georgia right now, and one of the largest as far as the number of wines produced and the amount of wines produced. They do a variety of wines out of Habersham. One of the things, they do a cross between a lot of the Vitis vinifera and Vitis vitifolia. If you listened to the program last week, you know, I broke all the grapevine down. If you didn't listen, it is on an archive. You can always look it up and listen to it on archive. But the Habersham has a Riesling, a white Riesling, which is sort of semi-sweet. And this is something, while we're mentioning that, a lot of people come in and expect Rieslings to be sweet on that style. They don't have to be. There is a couple wineries in Georgia that make a dry Riesling, that come out and do a dry style Riesling, which is really quite refreshing in itself. Dry Rieslings are almost like a contradiction of what most people are used to, but dry Rieslings are just softer as the sweet Riesling. I tell people when they come into the winery, when they say they like a Riesling, I point out that you can have a very dry one, and some of the sweetest wines in the world are made from the Riesling grape. So to say you like a Riesling, if I was saying I like hamburger, but there's so many different styles, so many different ways to, it's hard to narrow it down just by saying you like that. The Habersham also makes a rosé, a Cabernet Sauvignon, a Chardonnay aged in a little bit of oak and some stainless steel, a Scarlet wine, which is a blend of Chambord and Cabernet Sauvignon, and some white grapes, white wine grapes, which would lighten the whole thing up. Another Chardonnay Sauval blend and a Merlot. But then the winery itself also makes some what they call their Southern Harvest wines, which you start getting into a lot of the muscadine blends. They make a series of blushes and reds and whites and all that from the muscadine grape. If you've never had an opportunity to taste a muscadine wine, it is it's sweet. It's I hate to describe it to you because I tend to be a little bit prejudiced against the muscadine, because to me it has sort of a foxy finish to it, and that's something I don't particularly care for. It's not just a complete clean finish. It has this foxy type finish, and I prefer a little bit cleaner finish. Although muscadine is an extremely popular wine, an extremely popular grape throughout here and throughout Florida and all that stuff. So, I'm not criticizing it, just the personal taste. I'm not a big muscadine fan. But Habersham does a, like I say, a red, a white, a blush. They,
hello?
Hello?
Hello, Ron, you still there?
Okay, thank you.
Hello.
Okay. Welcome back to the program. That break has been brought to you by...
a broken computer.
I don't know what it was. I was getting nothing on this end, and I know you were saying you were getting nothing, but...
nothing. I was blank on this end.
I think it was on this end. Let's see. I need to... what do we have, 17 minutes?
Approximately, yeah.
All right. Let me go back to... So this will be a two-part show on 1,000 mics.
yeah.
Let's see. Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
You are now live on air.
Welcome back, 1,000 Mike. This is part two of the broadcast. If you would like to call
Thank
in,
you,
and if you'd like to call in for the remaining 17 minutes or less, it's 646-727-3235. 646-727-3235. We're back on. This will be a continuous thing on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. Otherwise, it's a two-part series. What, the same night?
1,000 Mike.
1,000 Mike. Wow, that was strange. And all of a sudden, just
that was strange.
Yep, canceled.
Yeah,
okay.
It just it happened.
Yeah, it did.
Oh well, sorry about that, people. And we, you know, we're never going to make it to big time with problems like that. Right?
Technical difficulties.
We're never going to be syndicated. That's for sure.
Yes.
All right. We're talking about Georgia Lines, about the Habersham, actually Habersham Winery. But while we were on break, poured myself some more wine. I do want to tell you what I'm enjoying tonight. I am enjoying a glass of Breezy Hills Vineyard wine. It's called Edelweiss, E-D-E-L-W-E-I-S-S, Edelweiss, or Edelweiss, but German Edelweiss. White table wine. This is produced and bottled by Breezy Hills Vineyard in Minden, Iowa. It's a light, fruity wine, reminiscent of, and we were just talking about a Riesling when we lost contact with you. We were talking about Rieslings, and this is a little reminiscent of a Riesling here. It's a fairly clean finish, a light white wine. The light straw color. It's really pretty pleasant. The people at Breezy Hill Vineyards, when I visit them, nice couple. They just, when I visited them a couple years ago, I had just recently opened up the winery itself and was expanding all that. So a very nice wine from Breezy Hill Vineyards in Iowa. We will be hopefully be able to contact them and talk to them when we get to Iowa in a few weeks here. But back to Georgia. If you go to Georgia wineries, you cannot visit Georgia wineries without visiting the big one, the large one that everybody knows about. Although Habersham is a classic old winery and one of the first wineries in Georgia, and one of the biggest ones there, everyone seems to know about Chateau Elan. Chateau Elan is located about 40 minutes north of Atlanta. It is an enormous chateau. It has meeting rooms. It has a championship golf course, actually a couple of them on the property, old production winery, European health spa, and entities that are just out of this world. It is a classic southern hospitality, French countryside type winery. Said about 40 minutes or so, about 35 miles north of Atlanta itself. So as you're going out of Atlanta, Chateau Elan began planting their grapes back in 1981. They started out with Chardonnay, Merlot, and Cabernet, and some Riesling grapes, and now that has grown to over 3,500 acres of grapes in conference areas and leisure, and they have horseback riding, and they have spas and restaurants and all sorts of stuff going on there. If you are in Georgia, visiting Chateau Elan is almost a requirement. If you're a wine person, you have to go to the winery. Don't plan on enjoying the wines a lot, because the Chateau Elan wines are so-so wines. They're nice, but they're not outstanding. They're pleasant, but they're not great. But they the atmosphere and everything around the facilities and the wineries and everything there are just absolutely phenomenal. It's a beautiful package of different everything. I mean, you've got day spas and spa suites and escape packages and golf and the golf school, tennis, swimming, bikes, and bike trails and hiking trails, fitness. It's got the three or four different restaurants, fancy restaurants. Just about anything that you can imagine is available at Chateau Yvon. The wines themselves, they have a variety of wines there. The Chambord, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Chardonnay, and quite a few of the muscadine grapes. They do make a series of muscadine wines. Again, nothing against you people up there. You do a great job, but it's good wine, but it's not outstanding. They are currently growing some Edelweiss, I guess Edelweiss is a grape. That's because I'm finding it here also. Edelweiss, Syrah, Fourche, Norton grapes. They also have a Sauvignon Blanc, a Vignier, American Cabernet, they're calling it, which is a blend that they're doing, and then some fruit wines, including peach, strawberry, and raspberry flavored muscadine fruit wines blended together. So quite a bit, but whenever anyone talks about visiting wineries in Georgia, without exception, the Chateau Yvon is the one that pops up and everyone tends to talk about and everyone tends to have been there. Being only 40 minutes north of Atlanta makes it a lot easier to visit it also. So Chateau Yvon, it's really quite an experience in itself.
It sounds like a resort.
It is. It's a big, beautiful place, big castle. You drive to the gates and all that. And,
wow.
Because it is so close to Atlanta, it's visited by a lot of people. And again, the wines are good. They're not outstanding. The wines are good. But, yes, you know, everything around it and all the stuff that's involved. And they've got two golf courses plus a little small nine-hole golf course. Plus they got a private golf course. On it, I think it's 3,800 acres or something like that, 3,500 acre total on it. Just a gorgeous place, absolutely a beautiful place. We talk about Georgia wines. Georgia wines stretch out. When we were talking to Mike Brown a few minutes ago, he's from the northern part of Georgia, the right up north of Atlanta, getting close to the borders of Tennessee and South Carolina. But there are wineries speckled throughout the state. There is a total of, in Georgia right now, total of 30 bonded wineries and 46 different Georgia businesses that are winery growers. I say Georgia wineries, bonded wineries. This is the designation that we use a lot. I don't know if I explained bonded before or not. Means that you are recognized as a certified winery in this country. You're bonded with the United States bond, showing that you are a legitimate winery and you fall within the rules and regulations and all that other stuff. So Georgia has 30 bonded wineries and 46 different businesses, some growing grapes, some are just making wine, some grow grapes and make wine. And there are new ones popping up all the time. Mike Brown mentioned that they are expanding like crazy in Georgia. It's an amazing state for growth in wineries. Mike mentioned, too, is the state hasn't really given them as much support as they would like or as much support as they would desire. But, again, most states aren't doing that right now, which is really, really sad, really they just understand how much money can be made in these states and the supporting wineries, then I'm sure that they would wake up. But again, we're talking government. The furthest southern one in Georgia is just a little bit south of Folkestone, which is way on down close to the Georgia-Florida border. It is Corson's Winery. It is on the southeast corner of Georgia. That is your furthest southern one. Also, there's a winery in the southwest corner of Georgia, just outside of Arlington, called Still Pond Vineyards. There is been growing around the middle of Georgia, in Nashville and Ray Tipton, that area, if you're familiar with Georgia, which is in the southern part. Georgia also has a winery just north and a little bit west of Savannah, in a little town called Gayton. Guyton. And Guyton has the Butter Ducks Estate Winery out there, one south of Macon, Georgia. Smaller winery there. There's also grapes growing throughout the southwest of Atlanta. There's vineyards there. Vineyards also, quite a few of them up in the northern part of the state. That is really where most of the wineries are concentrated in Georgia. Wineries and vineyards up in the northern part of the state, in that area there. Once you get out of Atlanta going north, it pretty well covers most of that area. And again, like Mike Brown mentioned while we were on the phone with him, it is more of an elevation there. You're getting more of an altitude for the grapes to grow as opposed to the flatter areas of the southern part of the state. And the soil up there is very conducive of growing a variety of grapes, a tremendous amount of different grapes. Some of the wineries in Georgia, rather small. Most of them are rather young, within the last 8-10 years. You don't find a whole lot of real old wineries. When I was doing some research on this, I found that a lot of them have put a lot of effort and a lot of money into the wineries, and there's just most of them offer weddings, and they have tasting rooms that are right next to restaurants and gardens and just a lot of stuff. People who are doing wineries in Georgia are putting a lot of effort into it and trying to raise the bar, if you will, on Georgia wines to make themselves back up to where they were back at the turn of the century when they were the sixth largest producer of wines in this country. And that's what they're working on right now to try to get themselves back up there. Crane Creek Vineyards, another good example. They're growing a variety of different grapes, not just the Muscadine, but they have themselves a bunch of grapes that range anywhere from the ones that from Europe and France to the ones throughout the southern United States, the Muscadine families and stuff. So this is what you're going to find in Georgia. It's very diverse. It's very unique as far as the cross you get between the different grapes you're growing. The soil ranges everywhere from the coastal waters all the way up to the hills in the northern part of the state with more elevation and more microclimates than you're going to find in the southern part. And then again, like we've mentioned over and over, the northern part of the state where you're going to find most of the wineries. So Georgia, if you get an opportunity, stop in to wineries in Georgia. And also, if you'd like to contact Mike Brown and the association he is with, Mike, you have that website?
I did, actually. I had the... I
just
thought of that. Yeah.
Discover?
Yeah, it was Discover Georgia.
DiscoverGeorgiaWine.com.
Yeah. And they are located in Helen, Georgia. Yeah. Go ahead.
Helen.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, you know, if get a hold of them, discovergeorgiawines.com, find out more about Georgian wines. You can also go to a site that's called Winecores or GeorgiaWine.com, and Georgia Wineries, Wine Growers Association of Georgia. A lot of those will take you right to those. They'll list a lot of Georgia wineries. But interesting. It's just one thing I say about Georgian wine is probably in what we've covered so far, the most diverse and most prolific of different types of grapes and wines of any state we've covered. So,
yeah, very interesting.
It's been a fun state to look into.
It's just north of us.
And it's just north of us. Thank you, Buster. They like their toothpick.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, well, I believe this, for those of you on 1,000 Mics, this concludes the second half of the show. And we will we'll try and get that. We're still working on this issue, I guess. 90 seconds. Ron, appreciate it as always. Thank you to everyone as well for listening and tuning in. And for Mike Brown of the Georgia Wine Growers Association for calling in and telling us about the organization and about the wine there as well. And everything. I've written quite a few things down. As always, remember, this Saturday is Wine Fest at Florida Estates Winery, located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Give the winery a call at area code 813-996-2113. That's Florida Estates Winery, 813-996-2113. Or email corp@floon.com, corp@floon.com, or visit the website at floridaestateswines.com for their information. Also sign up for their newsletter that comes out and tells you about the events and everything you can do at the winery, plus some wine information as well as recipes. And it's very informative and just a great place to go sample some great world-class wines at Florida Estates Winery. Ron, anything left to add? We have 17
seconds. Hawaii next week.
Oh, that'll be – wow, that's
nice. Join us on Facebook, Florida Estates Wine on Facebook.
Yes, search for Florida Estates Winery on Facebook and join us
on Facebook.
Yeah, cool. We'll see you all next Thursday. Thank you.
See you next Thursday. Thanks.
Okay.
And we probably are gone. That was the past 10 seconds.